What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. I'm Kyle Corbelis. This is week, I think, 170 straight weeks of music. And it's just been awesome. If it's not 170, don't come for me. I'm not really good at math. I just think it might be 170. We're in the ballpark there. So let's just go with 170. Let's hope it's a whole number. But I'm really excited. I get to welcome in someone who we've been a fan of for a few years at this point, and our paths have just never crossed up until right now. But Harper O'Neill, thank you for coming and hanging out with me. I appreciate it. I'm really excited to talk about your music, talk about all the cool things you got going on. Thanks so much.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me. I'm excited to hang out this morning.
Of course. I have been like kind of just like scrolling through your social medias, right? And like I said, like I've been following along for a few years. Honestly, probably like the 2020-ish range, something in that range, right? Like when we're all just like kind of sit, like we all remember that time when we're all just sitting around, just like doing nothing but listening to music and scrolling on social media and doing whatever we do, right? But I think that's about the first time that I was introduced to you. And I'm pretty sure, fact check me on this, you didn't have any music out at that point, right?
No, so, I released music for the first time last year.
Right. Yeah. So, but I didn't know if you did the whole, you know how sometimes people put some stuff out and then they sneakily take it down because they don't want anyone to hear it. Yeah. I couldn't remember if you did one of those, if you pulled one of those fast ones.
No, I recorded a project I was going to release in 2020, and then kind of given the state of everything, I took a second look at it and ultimately just decided that it wasn't what I needed to be releasing. So I just kind of held on to it and I never put it out.
Well, it's going to sit in demo jail forever. It's just going
to. It is. Yes.
And then one day you're going to be like, hey, I just want to listen to this. And you're going to listen to it. And you're going to realize how far you came. That's the other cool thing I love about that stuff, right?
Exactly. Yes. I mean, I kept one of the songs that was on that project and it's now out now, kind of reimagined. And even just hearing the difference between those coming from me as an artist, I have a much more clear vision about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I think that's what was lacking the first time. I mean, the musicians were great. The producer was great. The studio was great. I just didn't really know where I was.
Sure.
And so I took the last 3 years to kind of really grow into this place that I'm in now.
Sure.
So it's been an exciting evolution of the sound and the art and the direction that hopefully it's headed in.
Sure. Absolutely. So let's kind of start back, not towards the beginning, but kind of how you got to where you are now, right? Like you went to UT Austin, right? Which I've heard Austin's a great place. Never been, have to go.
I heard it's awesome. Yes, it's one of the greatest places to live, but also to go to college. I mean, like sure. It's just such a fun town. Yeah. I have so many great memories there. Of course, it's changed unbelievably since then. I mean, South Congress, when I was in school, had like a food truck, and now there's like an Hermes store and like a Soho house and like all this like, you know, fancy stuff. So it's definitely different.
Everyone's moving there. It's like, I'm from New Jersey and like, I know a bunch of people that live there now. You know what I mean? Like that's a huge, and not people that have went to school there, just people that decided they were going to get jobs and move to Austin. Right. Or even like, I know like one of my best friends decided he got a job remotely and was like, I'm just gonna go live in Austin. And he did, he picked up and moved. He loved it. He was there for like 3 years.
I feel like people do that with Nashville too. It's just like such a city of transplants and it's just a fun place to live. So now in this remote world where you can kind of do a bunch of different jobs from a bunch of places, it's like a great place to, you know, hunker down, you know?
Sure. Do you think that going to school there and like, you know, in like a world where, cause I feel like Austin is that city in Texas where like what you said is a bunch of transplants, like a bunch of people that just go live there. Right. Do you think that influenced a lot of your music?
I do, in the sense also that there was always live music around.
Right.
It's very similar to Nashville in that way. There's music in every bar, you know, there's tons of bands to see, tons of indie rock bands that come out of there still. It's like a great scene. And it was a cool place to kind of get some experience, get my feet wet, start performing a little bit, and develop my skills at the guitar, and just playing live is a whole other thing from songwriting and all that kind of stuff. So I absolutely think it's affected the sound. When we went in to cut these songs that are being released right now, my producer Jake Gear and I talked about what it would sound like if like Memphis horn styles came out of Dallas or came out of Austin, came out of somewhere in Texas. And so I absolutely think growing up in Texas and listening to that music from a young age has definitely impacted how I make my kind of country soul music.
Sure. I think you're 100% correct. And it's funny because, like, I was, you know, like I told you, I was pre-gaming by listening to your music. But I have to say, people, like, don't come for me. Like, I've been listening to Harper for a long time. It's not like I don't know these songs. I do know them, but, you know, you just gotta listen to a lot of music. You gotta just, you know, rack it back. But so I was listening to somebody, and like what you just said is like a really good representation of like that, like, in my opinion, that like Memphis soul with like the horns and like, you know, adding in just like, there's a little bit of like a country thing going on there as well. Like the way I see it is like Southern soul. That's the way I just interpret it. And I know like you interpret it that way too, but, and I think that's so great because like, we always talk about, something I talk about a lot here is like when I first started, I started doing this 3 years ago, right? Over 3 years ago. So when I started doing this, I was very naive to the fact that like, I liked my country music the way I liked my country music, right? Like it was like very tunnel visioned, and it was just like what I thought was the best is you weren't going to change my mind, right? Like it is what it was, right? But as I like started meeting more and more people, I started realizing that this filing cabinet of country music is so great because you don't have to like it all, because God knows I don't, and I'm sure you don't either, right? Like you don't have to like it all, but you can't have one thing without the other thing. And that's what just makes the genre so great. So I think that's really cool that you have this whole unique sound that I don't think we've heard nearly as much as, like, I just don't think we've heard it as much, right? Like, I just think that it's not as prevalent. I think that that's really, really cool.
I hear you on that. I totally agree about just the wide umbrella of country music. I mean, one of my favorite things, I always laugh when people say this, they're like, I don't like country music, but I like, and then they'll name.
Thank you, Harper.
Artists, they'll be like, I like the Chicks, I like Willie Nelson, I like, I'm like, okay, so you love country music.
I said that 2 weeks ago. Oh my God, I said that, those exact words 2 weeks ago. I love that.
It's just crazy. People have just kind of convinced themselves that country is just one thing, and then they neglect all the facets that it can be, all the different, you know, representations of country music. But I am really excited. I don't know of a lot of people kind of in this country Southern soul space right now. So it's a cool place to be. It really is. But I mean, of course, you've got like Marcus King and like Maggie Rose, and like you've got, you know, Yola kind of lives in that world. And like there's all sorts of really cool versions of it already existing. So they've been really inspiring to me coming through this process and trying to get my feet into that world.
Now, do you think that, cause like, I know that you're friendly with Meg McCree and like Ben Chapman, those guys, right? And they're very funky in their own right. And they might be a little bit more on the country or bluegrass side type of deal, but also kind of in that same little bubble musically, sonically a little bit, right? So like having friends like that, like that's gotta be encouraging too, because it's like, you know, you're not just sitting there where you're like, hey guys, like I want you to hear this thing that I'm coming up with. And it's not just like a, whoa, that's cool, but they don't really understand. Like these guys get it, right? So like, you know, it's gotta be encouraging when you have, you know, people around you. And I'm sure there's many others around you that are like, yeah, like this is sick, like this is funky. Cause when I listen to you, Harper, like I hear a lot of like, you know, old blues and old soul and like Aretha Franklin and Etta James. Like I hear all that like kind of coming through. Right. And I think that's really cool. Like, there's probably all these other people around there that think the same way. You just got to find it.
Absolutely. It's been so fun to connect with the friends that I've connected with here in town. I mean, you know, the two that you mentioned and beyond, you know, Gabe Lee and
Dave Lee.
Nate Frederick and Tyler Halverson and all these buddies of mine who have really carved out their own sound, their own version of country music. And what I love about all of us, from my perspective, is that we don't necessarily do the same things as each other, but it does feel like it's coming from the same place. It's coming from a real authentic place. And I think that's kind of what attracted maybe us to each other, which is, it's so fun to watch everybody kind of explore further and further what they do the best.
I feel like all those names that you mentioned, some of them my friends, some of them I just know just by scrolling, but, you know, just by social media, by, you know, whatever, but, it's funny. Cause I feel like you all fall under the Americana umbrella, but like, that's not really like, I take Americana as like pure singer songwriter. Like, you know, if you listen to like I'm trying to think of like another example outside
Ace
of.
Bistel.
Yeah, there you go. Like I take that as a singer-songwriter, right?
Yeah.
But I take him like more in the Americana scene. I wouldn't put you in that bubble. Not that it really matters at the end of the day. Like it really doesn't today, right? But like,
Yeah.
you know, like I would kind of stick you in your own lane. Same with Gabe, right? Like I love Gabe. Gabe's a good friend of mine for years. And I think
Phenomenal songwriter.
And he's
Yeah.
a phenomenal songwriter. He's one of the most talented humans I've ever met in my life. And I would jump in front of a train on that statement. I really would. And I don't think that, like, I think that it's just wild to me that it's all under the same umbrella, but the sounds are totally different. And it's all country music at the end of the day. I don't know.
At the end of the day, I completely agree. And you know, me and my team and of people, we've had conversations about what to call it.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we believe it to be country music because that's what we think it is. And it's funny that I think the more you try to label something, you're doing it a disservice, because when I sent this music home, I had some friends be like, I love that you didn't make a country record. And then I had some friends be like, gosh, this is such a cool spin on country music. So it's going to mean something different to everybody. So I think we're trying to just keep it as just honest and untouched as we can, and not get in the way of what it's going to be to whoever's listening.
I think that's great. And, you know, you mentioned before that the whole, like, I don't like country music, but I like X, right? Like, I think that you could be that person for people, which is great, because then it just gives them more of a reason to like country music. You know what I mean?
Exactly. We gotta lure them in a little bit. It's like,
I think that it's the coolest thing, Harper. I do. It's funny because, like, you know, you mentioned Gabe Lee, and he's come up to this area a bunch to play, and you know, every time he's here, I make it a point to go see him. And I've recently started bringing my, you know, I'm a twin, so I brought my brother with me, and I bring my friends now, because I think it's a really easy way for me to inject my music into all my friends.
Oh my gosh, totally.
I just tell them I'll pay for their ticket, and then we go.
Yeah. You're like, okay, the night's on me. Now you have to come. Yeah. Well, my dad's so funny. He loves singer-songwriters. He loves country music, but he doesn't think he loves country music. So he's like one of those. He's one of those where he's like, I don't
my,
like
my dad is too.
Yeah. But then I bring home, I got my dad a record player a couple years ago for Christmas, and I brought home all of Gabe Lee's vinyls. And that's pretty much the only thing he listens to. And I'm like, oh, you love country music. Like, it's so funny. We'll just like play pool and listen to Farmland, his first record. My dad just absolutely adores it. So
Christine's a classic song on that one. I love Christine on that one. Great song.
Oh my God. That record, I just remember that's like when I kind of found him. And remember being in Nashville and hearing his voice come on the speaker, and I'm like, who is that? Like, he's
ridiculous.
So unique. Yeah.
So unique. I love the uniqueness of everything, right? Like, I love that whole part. And this is coming from a guy who loves a good honky tonk song, right? Or who loves like that classic 90s sound, or like, you know,
stories.
The 80s.
He tells but stories.
Exactly. That's the key to it, right? It's all about like laying out the story. And, you know, I mentioned before how, you know, when I first started this, I was kind of tunnel visioned, and I made the title of Remember Country Music because of, like, naively was saying like, this is country music, right? But then it kind of twisted, it kind of evolved, and it became, you know, what is the bones of country music? What makes the root of country music? Like, what makes it so great? And for me, it's all about the story, and it's all about the authenticness. And I think that's what we have, right?
Yes.
So you said your dad doesn't like country music. So, well, now he does, but he claims to not always like it. So what did you grow up listening to?
So my parents are extremely musical. Like, they're just children of the 60s. They loved, there was music playing all the time in the house. Like, during dinner, we would like play pool and listen to music. We'd hang out in the backyard and listen to music. It was just always on. And to my dad's credit, I didn't really realize this till later in my life, how rare this is and how special it was and influential for me, but he loves female singer-songwriters. He loves them, which is kind of an unusual thing, especially just like the older I've gotten, I've understood how really truly amazing that was. But Bonnie Raitt, Carole King, Susan Tedeschi, like Ruthie Foster, Texas gospel singer, like he just loved these female voices. And so they were always on. And then my parents really connect on Texas country. So Hayes Carl, Lyle Lovett, Robert Earl Keen, like all that kind of music. And then my mom's on the other side with the Stones, Eagles, like all that kind of like classic rock kind of stuff. So it was a very in-depth music education, kind of on accident, truly. Yeah. And we would always go to like local singer-songwriter festivals. We would always find, they were always trying to find like the next thing. Like I got to write with Robert Earl Keen recently, which was just an absolute dream come true for me as a Texas girl.
Yeah.
And I remember telling him that my parents always say, we knew Robert Earl before Robert Earl was Robert Earl. they so value music discovery.
Yeah.
So it's something I've been passionate about since I was young.
That's so cool. That's so cool. Cause like, I think that, you know, as a musician, you do this, but I also do this. Like, I also value the art of music discovery. Like, it's my favorite thing in the world, right? Like, I'm sure you feel the same way. Like, but now it's different because like you're there, right? So you know, you go see these people and you become friendly with these people, and it's a different type of relationship. But for me, like on the outside, it's just like it's the coolest thing in the world when you think someone's really good and you decide to get to know them and you know, maybe share their stuff or whatever, or share it with your friends and do whatever. Cause I do that a lot. Whenever like someone's getting dry on music, they say, Kyle, like, what do you listen to? Can I hear? And I'm like, sure. So I send them whatever I'm like kind of in the zone on at the moment. But the coolest thing is when you see that person climb and climb and climb the ladder of success. And even if I'm still here and that person's up here, like it's still really cool. So,
absolutely. You see them grow and change and their work evolves and it's really beautiful. I mean, and there's something special about feeling like you're in the ground floor of something. So sure. I used to play like cover sets on Sixth Street and there were these two women I met. They were older. I was like 18 or whatever. And they just took a picture of me in the bar singing for nobody. It was an empty bar. Yeah. And now I've kind of had some, you know, cool looks in Billboard and American Songwriter and a couple of things. And they still follow me on my Facebook page.
Wow.
And this picture the other day of just like, we've been following her for years now. And I had no idea that they've been, you know, really keeping up with me and keeping a lookout. And this is, you know, way before I'd even decided to pursue this.
Yeah.
And they just thought it was cool or that there was something there. And it's things like that, full circle moments like that, that I just find so special and so well worth it.
Yeah.
These two gals just remembered me, you know,
that is the coolest thing.
Yeah.
That means you're really making an imprint on people. And I think that's really important. I think as you, as an artist and as you, as a songwriter, like it's gotta be so, you know, encouraging in terms of, cause you know, this stuff's hard. Like it's not easy. Like I have people that I'm friendly with all the time that I've known for a long time that are like, yeah, we just went to Nashville. Like it was really cool to like go into this bar and go into AJ's and go here and go there and, you know, see these people play. They're really talented. And the first thing I always say is like, yeah, it's not easy. Like they do that all day long for like, not like, it's not like they're trying to make ends meet at the end of the day. Like, it's not like it's like the easiest thing in the world, and it gets hard because like, you know, you're
absolutely
cover for a bunch of drunk people, right? So like, but to have those people like, you know, hear you and say like, wow, like she's really good, and then follow along for the next X amount of years, like that's got to be the most encouraging thing in the world.
It really is. It's so special, and ultimately at the end of the day, I think it's a people business.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's a lot of what keeps us going. I can't thank enough people for supporting local art and going to sit in bars when they're not playing for anyone. I mean, you know, I can say on this side of things that me and all my peers, we've all been there playing for the bartender, you know? Sure. So anytime that, you know, people come in and just sit and participate and cheer somebody on and get them through those kind of tougher nights, it's really special, special bond.
Yeah. I try and do it with, I guess this is cool. I always talk about like the power of social media and how cool it's been for a lot of people, but it's also, it's a tool, but it's also, you know, there's a lot of negative social media as well, obviously, as we know. But the one thing that I think is really cool is like the ability, and you know, this has become a new thing in the last couple of years, obviously, but when people are playing at bars, sometimes they'll prop their phone up and they'll hit live, right? And they'll play for their phone, right? And it's an easy way to do both. But like one thing I like to do, and what I actually think is just cool in general, is like if I see someone's live and they're playing in a bar, that, you know, you can kind of tell when they're alone because they start talking to the people in the crowd, right? And like it's you know, you can hear them back. And you hear like all these people in the comments are like requesting a song or just like telling them how great they are. Like, that's so cool, right? Like,
yeah.
Cause that's hard. Like, it's not easy to sit there and just play for no one. And I don't know. I just think it's really cool that like, just even if I'm not like super intentively listening and I just kind of have it on in the background, just for them to know that like I'm there, even if they have no idea who I am, like that's, I feel like if that was me, I would appreciate that. So
1,000,000%. That is so awesome. And it doesn't take a lot of time or a lot of effort. And I'm sure on the other end, it's extremely meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. It's like, this is a interesting world we live in. And there's a lot of ways to, find new people and also just kind of, hop on the train before the train leaves the station. I think it's really
absolutely
cool. So
early. Yeah. Right?
So it's really cool that your parents would take you to these songwriters and you would go to this local town and you would find these people. It's really cool. So did that spark your interest for songwriting yourself? Cause like, I feel like as a kid, everyone wants to, like, if you're musically inclined and you're talented, even as someone who's not, like, I wanted to play the guitar really well as a kid. I can't, but I wanted to. Like everyone wants to be like a rock star, right? But like, did that to be able to, and that's mostly because like your parents play what they like, and mm-hmm. where my parents are in age, a lot of that was like some pretty good rock music, right? So it was like the coolest thing in the world. But going to these events with your parents, like, did you say like, oh, I kind of want to do this, like I want to write songs?
Absolutely. I mean, I knew really young that it was interesting to me, and I definitely gravitated towards it when my parents, I think I was 7 or 8, they came home with a little Baby Taylor signed by the Chicks, and that's all I needed, man. Like, off to the races. So I kind of got into playing just some basic chords and stuff, and then in the process of growing into my teen years, I kind of set it down and wanted to have like a normal thing going on. So I kind of forgot about it for a while. And then when I was about 16 or 17 and like kind of having feelings for the first time and like sorting out your life and like becoming kind of an adult at that point, that's kind of when I really felt like I had some stuff to write about. I'm sure the songs were terrible, but that's kind of really when I got, super interested in the songwriting creative process.
Yeah. I feel like that happens a lot, like with people that go through life and that are kids when they decide they want to do this, where like there's a period of time where they put it down because it's like not, it's not the cool thing. But at some point, right, it's like someone said this to me once and I actually thought it was really funny and I remembered it. They were like, at some point, your high school glory days in sports are going to end, and it's a lot cooler to play the guitar in college than it is to talk about how great you are, how great of an athlete you were in high school, right? So like, it's
totally, it is a, even just for hobbies, like I always encourage, like my sister has kids right now and I know she's super musical and she's going to put them in some sort of musical class or instrument or something, because it is a great hobby that you can grow with over time. It really is.
My parents put me in piano at a very young age. I had a big piano in my house and they put us in piano. Did it for a few years and then shifted our focus, elsewhere. And that's just kind of how that goes. I wish I still knew how to play. I really did. Cause I didn't not enjoy it. I thought it was good. I just didn't do it forever. Right. Like I put it down forever and it kind of went away. But then I like started playing guitar for a little bit, as a kid and same thing. Like I for some reason, the actual art of playing music, like I never latched onto, but the analyzation of music I was always into. That makes sense. Like I loved listening and I loved deciding what I liked about music and why I thought a song was good and why I thought an artist was good. But I, for some reason, that music, that the actual playing just never linked with me. I don't know why. I wish it did. I bought a guitar in college to try and play again. It's sitting in my closet upstairs.
Oh man.
Stuff.
But, I mean, this is something that you can grow with too. Being a tastemaker in this industry is extremely important, extremely valuable to us as creators as well. I mean, like having people find artists when they're getting started and encouraging people to get on the train of that. I mean, like that's what it's all about. I mean, you talked about social media earlier, which is a great tool, TikTok and Instagram and whatever, but there's nothing better when it comes to music discovery than word of mouth or someone with some credibility being like, hey, there's something here happening. That's how I find a lot of my recommendations or whatever for new artists, like people I respect in this industry being like, have you checked out, Olivia Dean, or have you checked out whatever, whoever. That's when I'm like, oh, then I've got to go check this out.
Like you have that, what you're saying, you have that one person that if that one person comes to you and is like, hey Harper, check this person out, you trust them. You say, okay.
Absolutely.
I would like to think that in my small circle, people like that's where I mean, yes. Maybe not, but I would like to think that that's where I'm at. I don't know.
I believe it.
I don't know. I listen to enough where I think that, like, in my small circle of life, if I give someone a recommendation, it might work out. I don't know. It depends.
Seriously. Yeah.
It depends, right? I do. I take it very seriously. Now, in terms of like your own music, right? Like Nashville's a very intimidating place. It is. It is what it just that's because, you know, like people always say, like, if you think you're good, there's all these other people that are just as good, if not better, right? Like when you first move there, it's a very like whoa moment. And you know, you've heard time and time over. In terms of like the fact that you moved there, you have a publishing deal now, right? Like you write for, you're a professional songwriter, which is like the most wild thing ever. Like it's just like, right? It's got to be crazy as a kid who dreamed of writing songs growing up and all this stuff. Like that's got to be the craziest thing. But like, is it right? Exactly. But so when you approach songs and you write your songs, like your sound is so unique compared to maybe some people that you're writing with. But do you allow that, the artist side of you, to come through in your songs when you're writing with other people, even if maybe it's not for you? Or do you kind of just have like a writer's hat and an artist hat?
That's a good question. I think it's that it always changes depending on who I'm in the room with.
Sure.
I can usually tell pretty quickly if, like, subject matter wise, it's something that I would want to say as an artist. And if I can latch onto the idea of it really soon, I probably am more insistent upon certain language or certain aspects to it that kind of put it in my voice. But I've also found that sometimes you just got to stay out of the way of a good song and let the song be what it is. Yeah. And if you want to write something else later, go write something else later, but it's not worth it to derail the magic in the room if it's headed to a certain direction.
Right.
And I'm always surprised by what I end up connecting with as well. There's been times when I'm like, oh, I would never release that song. And then it kind of sneaks in and I find a way to really make it my own and put it in my voice. But Nashville is an interesting place in the sense of, like, when you move here, you have to assimilate to figure out how the industry works, right? You have to jump in 2 feet all the way. And then you get to a point where you have to start differentiating yourself. And so there is a process of taking 1 foot back out and remembering who you were before you moved here, who you were before you knew how to write a song.
Yeah.
Sometimes the best songs don't make any sense, but you know exactly what they mean because of feeling the magic of the song. So that's been kind of my process for like the last year or so.
Do you remember at that, like, that moment where you took that step out to try and figure out where you wanted to go and the line you wanted to draw in the sand there?
I think it was around 2020 when we were all kind of locked away.
Yeah.
Just not being able to collaborate was a really interesting situation to find myself in at that point. So I did a lot of writing by myself. I did a lot of listening to music and trying to figure out, what is it about Carole King that I love? What is it? Like, what is it about all these other artists that I've admired so much for so long, and trying to really grab onto those pieces and then put them through my own lens. So I think it was around 2020, just being so secluded from collaborators.
Everything. Yeah, for sure. I would probably agree with you on that one in terms of just like headspace. You know what I mean? It's like, you kind of don't know where you're going to go, what your direction is in life is going to be in general, just at a wide lens. And I think that, you know, you had the time to play your guitar and listen to the music and really analyze it. And like, that's probably the way that you just dove in and said, yeah, this is the reason why I love all of this shit. Right. So
absolutely. I think it also made us all kind of question how we see the world.
Yeah.
What do we value? What things are important to us and who's important to us? And I think that was an interesting, just forced growth period for everybody in every industry.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm absolutely with you 100%. So your music here, right? So, you know, you put music out in 2022, and you've put out a bunch of songs since that first release. 1, 2, 3, I think five.
Yep.
Six.
Five, about to be six.
Five, about to be six. Okay. So here we go. can't count, but I think they're all great. The vibe is fantastic on all of them, right? And I love that you mentioned how your mom is very influenced on like the Stones and like those bands, right? Because I love the guitars you play. I think that they're very that era, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, they have, you know, the Gibsons and all those guitars like that, they have a certain sound to them. There's a certain tone to them. And it's got that very soulful sound. And I think that it's awesome. But, and I think that's also just like the vibe of a lot of your music and just, you know, the glasses, right? Like it's like a total thing. I think it's the coolest thing in the world. So let's talk about this music and specifically this newer stuff with like Guilty and, you know, When You Love Me and those songs, like where is this stuff leading you to? And how cool is it to put this stuff out and just be who you are? Like, you know, we've talked about trying to find your lane, and I think you found it and you're running full speed ahead. And I think that it's really cool that you have this whole songwriter side of you, but now there's this face and there's this look, and this is who you are. I think that's the coolest thing. And you take it and you approach it and you live it. I think that's really cool.
Thank you so much. You know, it's been an interesting process. It's scary to show the world who you are. It's intimidating to be honest and put yourself out there and just pour your heart out in front of people every night and to be the face of this certain music and this certain vibe that is truly a representation of tons of artists that have come together to collaborate, you know, from the graphic design, from the styling, from the songwriting and the musicians in the room, the musicians on the road. It's really an honor to represent all the artists that have come together to create these songs. It truly is my producer, you know, the engineers, everybody. But it's been fun too, because I think there are still some surprises left for songs that will be released. Like this next one coming up, I Was Always Yours. It's going to be quite a departure sonically from some of the other stuff that we've heard. It's a bit more of a piano ballad. It's got like some drama to it. There's strings, you know, it's still, of course, through this thread of the same music, but it's definitely on the other end of what this sound could be. So super exciting for me. That comes out, I think, July 21st. So it's coming up. Yep. It's probably the release that I'm like not most nervous for, but I'm not sure how to expect people to react to this next one. So it's kind of an exciting time over here.
It's a little bit of a risk, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I picked it because it's not normally a song I would pick.
Sure.
And I think that's part of what makes art exciting, you know, is to constantly push yourself and make sure that you're growing and changing. Right. My favorite artists of all time don't make the same record over again, even though they could have, right? So they get to some, you know, super big award-winning continuum for John Mayer or, you know, Golden Hour, Casey Musgraves, or all these, you know, iconic records. They don't go make that same record again. And so I try to always think about that and in moving forward and pushing myself to get outside what I've already done. So
for sure. I think that's great. And if you're listening right now, that song is out. I believe at this point, that song will be out. So if you're listening, go share it with your friends and do all that stuff. And you know, the things I always say to go do, go share it with your friends. Right. So, but I think it's really cool that you mentioned that, right? Like each week I always mention the fact that, you know, if you're not one-upping yourself or you're not taking a risk, then you're really just staying stagnant. And as a young artist, like you're doing yourself a disservice because, you know, with this new one, you might say, I'm a little nervous about it. Someone else might say, whoa, this is sick, right? And then it opens up to your whole catalog, right? So I think that's really valuable in terms of music. And you're right. Like, you know, your favorite artists don't make the same record over and over and over, right? Like, I love Eric Church. Eric Church, like, some of his stuff is very different. Like, some of his early stuff is very different from the stuff he has now, right? Like now he's a little bit more funky. He's got some stuff going on, whether you like it or you don't. Yeah, like
Warren's out on the road with him right now.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's like the, I don't know. I appreciate that you said that, 'cause I think it's true. Like no one makes the same records and you know, it's really good to take risks. And I like that you are, and I'm really excited to hear the song and to really dive into it and to, you know, have everyone else hear it themselves.
I think too, something you mentioned earlier about one-upping yourself in this industry and in all industries, especially creative ones, it's so easy to want to compare yourself to your peers.
For sure.
And try to figure out how everybody in this town is like, well, this person's going to do this thing. They're, you know, whatever. But your work, I think, truly gets better when you're doing that to yourself.
Yeah.
So this is a better song than I wrote last week. This is a, I'm singing better than I sang this song a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping that sort of energy behind how to get better is what's helped me, because there are times when this place can get you down, you know, and it just feels like the opportunities aren't coming your way, or you know, whatever it may be. So that's something, you know, I'm working on focusing on more, is just how can I improve upon myself.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's awesome. And you know how people always say, like, and if you disagree with me here, but you know how people always say, like, put yourself in a room with people you know are better than you.
Oh my God, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of the same. It's kind of the same deal, right? It's like, you don't want to be in the room with the big head saying, like, I know that I can run circles around these people, because then what do you? It's like if you're going to practice and you're practicing, like, let's say you're a baseball player, right? Like, if you're going to practice and you know you're the best guy on the field, are you really getting better? No, you're just doing whatever, right? So, like, you want to allow yourself to be in a room with other people who are better than you, and to be able to allow yourself to grow.
I think that's been such a joy and a gift from being signed with Jody Williams Songs for Publishing. Yeah. They constantly are able to put me in rooms that I honestly probably have no business being in.
No, don't sell yourself short.
Well, you know, I got to write with Vince Gill recently. I got to
That's crazy. He's like one of my heroes. Are you kidding me?
It was insane. I got to write with Natalie Himby and Lucy Silk and John Green and all these just phenomenal, really, truly professional writers who have been, you know, refining their craft for years. And to be in those rooms and to just hear their stories, hear how they practice, hear how they got better, hear the struggles that they had and worked through, that has truly been one of the biggest gifts I've received in this last year, as far as trying to get better myself.
Sure. So let me ask, I got to ask you then. So you're in these rooms with these people, like, how do you focus? Cause I couldn't, I'm sorry. I'd have a moment where I just, like, laugh. Cause I'd be like, pinch me, please. What's going on?
Well, and it's interesting because you want to be yourself, right? So you want to not be so scared that you can't be
say
relatable
something.
And, you know, fun. And truthfully, I found that the more and more, like, successful you imagine someone to be, or think of them in your head, the nicest and coolest and kindest of them all. Yeah. I mean, I spent, you know, 8 hours over at Vince's house, and they made me dinner, and they're just nice, good, kind people who are just like everybody else and want to hang out and write songs and listen to music and tell stories. And of course, there is a certain, like, amount of reverence that I think I have throughout the whole interaction. And there are times when I'm sitting there, I'm just like, oh my God, I'm staring at Vince.
What do I do?
Yeah. So
don't break out in the song. I got to bite my lip.
Yeah. And you also, like, I found too, you want to make sure that they know you're a fan, but you don't want to, like, fangirl. So that line is kind of funny to walk as well. I mean, one of my friends now, but Lucy Silvas, I'm a huge fan of. I just think she's absolutely phenomenal. And I remember the first couple of times I was able to work with her, I've just, like, had to hold myself back from just, like, going on and on and on about what I love about her work, because I'm like, I don't want to scare her off, you know, like, yeah. She's a big hero of mine. So that's a funny line to walk as well.
I bet it is. And, I've been grateful to meet some people that I I'm also fans of, just briefly. And I think that you're right. Like, it is weird. Cause, like, you want, like, I'm, like, by trade, I'm like a dumbass. Like, I am just a goofy, like, I just say whatever. I'm a goofball. Like, I just like to have fun. I like to approach every room with a smile, and I like people to say, all right, well, you know, that was a good interaction, right? Cause I'm so worried about the first interaction. But, like, when you meet these people, like, I would imagine that it's just like, you got to try and be reserved a little bit, because you don't want, like, if it was me in Vince Gill's house, I'd be like, so can we play something? Like, can we hear, like, like Pretty Little Adriana, or, like, yeah. Milo Jane? Like, can we hear Pocketful of Gold? Like, what are we listening to? Like, let's figure it out. Like, let's song swap, but I won't swap the song. You just play.
Yeah, especially like a small concert.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know how you bite your lip, right? And I know that he's got like that guitar wall in his studio and whatever. He's got all those guitars. Like, I have no idea. I don't know if I could do it. I really don't. Like, maybe if we were in a one-on-one room and like there's nothing around and like he didn't have guitars to have available, like maybe I'd be better. But I really don't know if I'd be able to do it. I
you
wish I
can do
could.
it. He's so cool. He's so like down to earth and fun and funny. I think you could do it.
How did you not get asked him to sing like Take It to the Limit? Like, that's my question. It's like, I saw him play with the Eagles and I was like, dude, this is ridiculous. Like, I don't know. Nonetheless, that is really cool. And the fact that you got to do that is pretty awesome in terms of just like, you know, being able to say that you did it, right? Like, it's so cool. Cause like when you walk down the street, right? Like, you know, you might pass 200 people, a handful of those might know who you are. Right. But like most of them probably wouldn't, because you know people don't pay attention that closely, and to be able to walk down the street and no one have a clue that you know you write songs with Vince Gill and you write songs with all these people, you know, all these people, Robert Earl Keen, like all these people that are so cool, they would have no idea. I think that's the coolest thing in the world.
It is. It does. It's like the best secret I've ever had.
That's incredible. That really is. It's actually awesome. Now, you know, this is kind of how I'm going to wrap it up, but you know, you mentioned this new song. Is there a project on the way for you, or is it kind of just like playing the singles route and then kind of putting them together so you have that personal playlist where, like, you know, if you are playing and someone says, you know, hey Harper, like where can I listen to your stuff? You just kind of give them a project of 10 songs. They can listen to 10 songs. Like, kind of where is that direction going for you?
So the first three songs kind of wrapped up under the Somebody EP.
Right.
And then these three songs are going to wrap up under the Guilty EP. So there'll be two EPs. And then if I had to guess, I would say there's probably another one coming.
That's awesome. That's awesome. More music. I love it. So the one thing I have to ask you, because I think it's really, really cool. And this is kind of how I'm going to circle in, right? Like, so, you know, you move to Nashville, you go do music, and this is a dream of yours. Would you ever think in a million years that you would have a page in the Rolling Stones, something on Billboard? Like, is any of that a thought? I had to ask it. I mean, I couldn't not ask it. It was there for the taking. It's like low hanging fruit. Like, at what point do you say, what the fuck?
My hands are sweating thinking about it. Like, it is truly unbelievable. I'm going to tell you a real story.
Please
do.
At
the top of this year, New Year's Eve, I decided not to go out and I stayed in and I made a vision board. And all of this shit was on my vision board. I just wrote the craziest stuff I could think of. American Songwriter was on there. Billboard, Rolling Stone was on there. Red Rocks. I'm going to play that.
Red Rocks. I got to talk about that too. Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, and I think there's something about putting out into the world what you want, asking for it, admitting that you want it sometimes is the scariest part. And so to see all these things come through, I'm so proud of, once again, my whole team that makes all this stuff possible. I mean, everybody works so hard to get this music out there and to support this whole, you know, artistic venture. It's truly just like so special to be a part of. And I know my mom's all like, she wants me to go pick up like 15 copies of American Songwriter and send them home. I'm like, Mama wants one, Mimi wants one, you know, the whole gang needs one. So it's definitely fun to see it kind of be documented, you know, and recorded in that type of way. It's certainly helpful for when people back home are like, so when are you going to move home? Like, no, you don't get it. I'm doing this.
Right.
Make it happen.
That's gotta be awesome. It's like, it's also like a little bit of, I always say like, no one gets into this because they don't have like an ego in terms of like, or they don't like attention. Like, no one gets into this if they don't like attention. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Like, we all a little bit like to talk about ourselves. Right. Like, it's true. And whether it be at a larger extent or a smaller extent, like, it's true. Like, I don't love when the attention's on me, but you know, there is times where I like to talk about myself, and I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is what it is. You don't get into the public eye unless that's the case.
Unless you want to be seen in some way.
Exactly. So it's gotta be cool when you have like people that are saying like, so you're going to move home, and then you're just like in Rolling Stone.
Yeah. It's funny too, because I think for me, you know, being signed with Jody Williams was kind of the beginning, and making this record with, Jake Gere and that whole crew of musicians was kind of the beginning of this next like level for me.
Yeah.
And that was at the start of last year. So now that it's kind of getting a little bit of attention from these awesome publications, I think it's now becoming real for people I love back home, but it's been real for me since we started this project a year ago. So having that time lapse in between is really interesting because I've had this music for a while, and like, mm-hmm. I've been building out this team, you know, with, you know, Haley Riddle at WME Booking and like Q Prime South and all these incredible partners. And I don't think they necessarily know what any of that means, but they know what it means to be mentioned in Rolling Stone. They know what it means to be mentioned in Billboard. So it's really interesting to see how it, you know, evolves from the creation of it to being seen and heard.
Yeah. I totally agree. And you're doing fantastic, and your music is great, and just everything you stand for is just absolutely awesome. And I really hope continue just kicking ass and doing all the good things. And you're opening for Dierks at Red Rocks. Like,
come on,
you're going on the road with Old Crow and Morgan Wade. Like, there's so many cool things happening for you. And I just hope that anyone that's listening that, you know, maybe doesn't know Harper now does and decides to go down and, you know, hop on the Harper O'Neill train. I think that it's fantastic.
On. Get on, you guys.
Before the train leaves the station, you got to get on. You got to get on. Harper, thanks for coming to hang out with me. I appreciate it. You're absolutely incredible. And I really do hope that everything just blows up for you and you continue doing all the incredible and cool things that you're doing. So thanks for coming.
Thank you so much. I had such a lovely time chatting with you today.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. Everybody, you can go follow Harper on Instagram at Harper O'Neill Music, all one word. Stay up to date with show announcements and songs and all that good stuff, and Rolling Stone and Billboard and all that good stuff. And go check out, you know, where she's going to be on the road, harperoneillmusic.com. Tour dates are there and merch and all that good stuff there. So make sure to go check that out. New music is on the way. What'd you say? You said 21st, new song, new music. You can go check out all the other music there as well. Apple Music, Spotify, all that good stuff, all that jazz. And make sure to share it all and share it with your friends and share it on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and wherever you share music. That's always really helpful. But thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, it's there. Thank you for tuning in each week. Week 170 or 170-ish. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Kyle Corbis. That's Harper O'Neill. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.